This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to episode 100 of the Marketing Development Podcast. I can't quite believe we're here. This is all a bit weird. If you're listening to this on the podcast, as you may have listened to the last 99 episodes, you may or may not be aware that this was recorded live on Facebook on the 25th of May 2020, and we had a little bit of a hootenanny get-together, generally sort of talk, I suppose, on Zoom, and we chilled out for a little bit, and that was how we marked our 100th episode. Before I do unmute all the mics, though, there was just a few things I wanted to say to mark the occasion. I do have to say a massive thank you to everybody that's listened or joined the Facebook group or engaged or sent me direct messages or generally been encouraging about the whole founding of the podcast and how it's developed over the last two and a bit years. Because for me, the whole thing for me with the podcast is the interaction that I get from other people. And that happens through the group, and it happens through DMs and messages and conversations. And I was going to do a few shout outs, but I'm not going to because I don't want to miss anybody out. But there's numerous people that have helped me along the way, and I really appreciate all the help, and I want to be able to pay that forward as well. So if any of you guys are looking at podcasting or looking at growing a community and want to reach out to me, then I'll more than happily have a discussion with you about that. The podcast has changed a bit over the last 2 years, over the last 100 episodes, and it's, I suppose, in the sort of process of changing again, in the sense that now SEO Hive's here, it's got a supporting role in helping develop recurring revenue streams for marketing professionals and marketing agencies, digital agencies. So it's the core values are still the same, about helping marketing professionals, helping digital agencies, helping develop skills, helping develop resources, building businesses together that are by people and for people, but it's just twisting a little bit into a supportive role for SEO Hive as well. But we're going to keep on creating a safe place for community to happen. So that is what this podcast is all about. If you haven't yet joined the Facebook group and you don't know any of what I've just said, then make sure you check out peteeverett.com/group, or if you, there'll be a link in the show notes directly into the group. Come and join us and say hi, because we're a relatively nice bunch of people most of the time. So, for anybody that's on the call, I'm now going to unmute microphones. I'm just going to hit unmute all. So if you want to be muted, you're going to have to remute yourself, because that's just the way it's going to be. And just say hi, everybody. How you doing?
Hi, everybody. How you doing?
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, happy birthday, Pete.
Thanks. I wasn't expecting it. Did everybody see the little cartoon that my son drew?
It was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it was it wasn't as awesome when he woke me up with it at 6:45 on a bank holiday morning and said, Daddy, look what I've just drawn for you. But no, bless him. It was very, very sweet. And he's really enjoying getting into that. I'm thinking of getting him one of those one of those tablets that he can draw straight onto his he's got a little computer, so draw straight onto there. I might have to figure out how to get Photoshop on there as well for him.
Business expense.
Yeah, another Photoshop license at 20 quid a month. So how's it all going? How's Tuesday looking for, I nearly said Monday, how's Tuesday looking for everybody?
So far, so good. This is a first thing to get done on the to-do list is this, and then a day full of wild wonder after this ends.
I suppose for you, Kyle, it's first thing in the morning still.
Yeah, it's 9:13 in the a.m. for me.
Ooh.
So
10:13 for me.
I did have to select some content articles from SEO Hive this morning, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, but you did that like hours ago. What time are you working, man?
Early. I'm going to let y'all in on a little secret. If you got little kids, and family that likes to bug you while you're working from home. If you get up at 4 and work, nobody will want to bug you.
Get up. Yeah. There's only 1 4 o'clock in the day, pal.
No, that's AM.
Crikey. You sure you're not just still going
with my fingers to find out what that would be if we weren't using AM, PM? 1600.
Mate, you need your fingers to add 12.
Yes.
But he's absolutely right. I mean, I get up very early, not that early, but most days I'm up 6 a.m. And that early morning time, that's for me to produce my content. Because I just don't have time during the day.
Well, you were producing videos at like 20 past 5 the other day, weren't you?
It possibly looked like that. I was producing the outlines and then the scripting. I don't actually film at that time in the day.
No, you need at least 7 coffees before you get onto that.
Yeah, it's a liter before 9 o'clock.
You know, I'm not a massive morning person. I find it a real struggle. I can work into the night, 1, 2, 3 a.m. if I need to, but setting that alarm is like trying to wake the dead. Particularly 4 a.m., mate, not a chance.
Absolutely. I haven't set an alarm in 10 years. Just up.
Yeah, you just keep on growing them.
Yeah. Luckily, they're not up that early.
But I'm with Kyle. I kind of naturally wake up around 4:30 a.m. I just don't get up. I wish I could. But like you, Pete, I'm not a morning person. That's why my stuff has to come first, because I'm motivated to do my stuff early in the morning. Hope no clients are listening. Client stuff doesn't motivate me that much, so it tends not to get done in the morning.
Yeah, I'm like my phone battery. All night I charge, and then when I wake up, I'm at 100%, and then it just drains all day. So I'm my most productive, like within 30 seconds of waking up.
So on that analogy, are you like an iPhone 7 that decharges in about 4 hours, and then that's it, you're done for the rest of the day?
Pretty much.
Yeah, okay, pretty much. Cool. By 8 a.m., that's it, you're done.
Yeah. I actually, one of my customers has learned now how early I work, and he's an early riser. So this morning we actually worked on getting a blog post together for an hour or so back and forth, which was fine because nobody else wanted to bug me.
You see, I don't. So when I'm working out of hours, I don't send emails to clients in real time. So one of the biggest changes I had with my sort of workflow in order to get control of my email was I started using an email application that lets me schedule emails if I want to. So if I am working late, or there are some mornings that I get up early, I suppose maybe twice a year that I get up early to do some work. And if I need to send an email in that time, I'll then schedule it to go during normal working hours. Cause I don't want my customers to get used to the fact that they can contact me at 5 in the morning or 11 at night. That's not how I do it. I'm working at working times. And for example, one of the reasons why it is Tuesday now, because yesterday was a bank holiday in the UK. It was a bank holiday in the US. You know, we all wanted to take some time off. That's why we do what we do. So, you know, having a call in the middle of the day when, I could have been with my kids separating them from the sprinkler system was a very good call.
Yeah, we had a couple of customers last weekend. I don't know why it's different. We have, get this, Pete, we have Queen Victoria Day in Canada.
Queen Victoria Day in Canada?
It's Victoria Day. They celebrate Queen Victoria. Yeah.
Wow, she died like
a long time ago.
119 years ago.
It's popular over here. We get a day off for her.
Wow. Well, just think, in 119 years, there may be a Lorraine Day.
Queen Lorraine.
Queen Lorraine Day.
That's every day.
I wonder what we'll do to celebrate that day.
Drink wine.
Yes.
And lie in the sun.
Yeah, go find a waterfall or something to lie by the looks of your some of your pictures.
Yeah, I live on the lake, so it's kind of nice.
So we've got some friends that live in British Columbia, and they have a property on Lake Kootenay in Nelson in British Columbia.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I haven't been there for, I don't know, 10 years or so now, but it's beautiful. I could, you know, their property, they've got all these like log cabins in the trees on the beach. Yeah, and stuff.
BC is lovely. That's where a lot of Brits go, because the climate's more similar to the UK.
Yeah. I can see that. Although the the skiing's a lot better than the UK. Yeah.
That's how we ended up moving to Canada, because we used to go to BC to ski from the UK because it was cheaper than going to Europe to ski.
Wow.
Get that. Wow. We would go to the Rockies to ski because it was cheaper, and we just fell in love with the country. So we ended up moving to Ontario because that's where the work is mainly.
Right, yeah.
Cool. We might retire to BC.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Last time I was there, I remember taking a road trip. We flew into Calgary and traveled west. Yeah, that's the right way. Whereas the previous times I'd always gone to Vancouver and come east into the Rockies. And I remember leaving Calgary, and we'd been on a plane for, I don't know how long. I was, 20 something. And some friends of ours had picked us up, and we were driving out of Calgary towards the Rocky Mountains. And it was like you could see the bend in the land where the Rocky Mountains started. It was like we're on this plain, and then just there was just this like crease in the countryside, and all of a sudden you were just into mountains straight up.
Yeah, it's a nice drive. We used to fly into Calgary and then drive out towards Banff, that area.
I've been there, yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. So cool. So how's everybody getting on with the whole COVID thing? Dare I mention COVID-19?
Staying my happy butt at home, but everything in Texas is pretty much open. Hadn't seen people wearing masks in 2 weeks. We're the only, my family, anytime I've gone somewhere, my wife's gone somewhere, we're the only ones with the mask on.
Really?
Yeah.
We couldn't get any masks because they'd sold out. So we figured that now sort of things are steadying down a little bit. What's the point in trying to buy some? We've been out and it's been worse.
I've been using a bandana so I can look like a bank robber.
A mate of mine sent me a selfie, and he just so happened to be wearing a black hoodie, a bit like Bob, who's just popped up on my screen. There we go, check that out.
That's badass.
Darth Vader's on the call.
I don't go shopping in that.
And he sent me a selfie of he was wearing a black hoodie with a black which he put up. And then he had this completely black mask on, and he just sent me a message that said, "I'm about to go and rob Waitrose." That was it. Everybody's becoming a robber.
We have things starting to open up slowly here, and everyone went crazy on the weekend because we suddenly got nice weather here.
Yeah.
And they just flooded the parks in Toronto. So now everything's been shut again. They've wound it back. It's like, damn, that's why we can't have nice things. Yeah. There's all these videos of just people out in the parks having picnics, and it's like, no, that's not happening. Everything's closed again. So yeah, we've got nothing. We've got grocery stores open, and any stores now that you can get to directly from outside rather than in a shopping mall.
Right. Yeah.
They're allowed to open, but they're only just starting to open up. Restaurants still no. Yeah.
We've just had a schedule. I don't know whether it's the same up in Scotland, Bob, but we've just had a schedule in the UK, in England, sorry, where schools are reopening on the 1st of June. There's a whole list of things that are opening on the 1st of June. Then there's a whole further list of things that are going to open on the 15th of June. And then the exclusions are things like restaurants, pubs, hairdressers aren't reopening. Anything to do with the beauty industry, that's not reopening. And there's no date yet set for those, but we do have sort of two phases coming. And one of my sons is very upset because he's in the first wave of children to go back to school. And his main cause of upset is his brother isn't in that first wave, so his brother gets more time at home with mum. That's really the crux of his argument.
Oh, no. No, I think up here it's a little bit, they're taking a very different approach. Everything is much more cautious.
You're waiting for us to fail. That's what's happening.
I don't know. I think Nicola Sturgeon always seems to think she knows better. But I think in this case, she might. I don't think we have quite the same sort of political, social pressure to get back to normal
that
you have further south. And I think maybe the Daily Mail has a lot to do with it in the south, that the tabloid press is very much in favour of sort of blaming everybody when it goes wrong, but also blaming everybody when they can't do what they want.
Mm. Try coming to America.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Scotland's almost the complete opposite to America, but in that regard.
Strange place.
Yeah, I think it's where I live is quite rural. I mean, I could walk out of my house and not see anybody for an hour if I chose to. I just have to pick my route quite carefully. But yeah, it's starting to wear down a little bit now. I'm personally quite happy being on my own. Social isolation doesn't cause me a problem. Send me to Mars on my own, I'd be quite happy. But yeah, it's getting a bit much now.
Yeah, yeah, it is starting to take its toll. I think it's the maybe south of the border we are starting to see a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. But until we sort of had that, things might be moving. It was, you know, just looking at this extended period in front of you where you didn't know what was going on wasn't a brilliant prospect, I must admit.
I think one of the problems with this whole coronavirus thing is once people are ill, you don't see them. And when they're ill in the supermarket, you can't see because they don't have spots. There's no obvious symptoms. So I think if it was a more obvious illness, more obvious pandemic, like something like Ebola, for example, we would all be very much more aware of it. But it's so easy to get complacent. I mean, it's still killing hundreds of people every day in the UK.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to see how different countries are dealing with it because we don't have that many cases. Like where I live here, we have five cases of COVID. That's it in the whole area. But they've already cancelled schools. Schools aren't going back. And even some of the local universities have cancelled the fall classes. They're all going to be online. So they've already cancelled September. They're just being so cautious about it. That,
yeah. I think the thing is, once it does get into the population, it will spread like wildfire. So I can understand why they need to do these things.
Yeah. We have Quebec, a neighbouring province. They have the most cases in Canada. They have double what we have in Ontario. They've opened up the schools again.
Hmm.
It's just like different places are doing different things.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Pete, I have to get off of here and jump on another call, but congratulations on the 100th episode. I'm honored to have been a part of it on here. So I'm looking forward to 100 more.
All right, I'll see you for episode 200.
Yeah, nice to see you again, Kyle.
You too.
So just then sort of moving on from that then, how's your business changed or how are you having to change your business to because of COVID? You know, has it accelerated certain things? Have other things gone on pause? You know, what are things looking like for you? I know Bob and I have a sort of a contact point when it comes to that anyway, but yeah, how's it going?
For me, it's like probably 3 or 4 weeks where everyone seemed like they were in shock and everything just stopped.
Mm.
Nothing happened, no new leads coming in. People just didn't want to move forward with anything. And then it started to pick up again. And I've actually got one of my clients, he does gluten-free products and he's been kind of struggling to get people to buy online. He has a physical bakery as well.
Yep.
But with this pandemic, everyone buying online, his sales have just gone ridiculous. Like, so he's benefited. I have another clothing store. It's quite kind of a big store around here. And they just kind of started trickling things online before this. And then of course the stores were all shut.
Mm.
So they put a big sign in their window saying shop online. And now their sales have gone through the roof as well. So it's kind of weird. There's the people that have already prepared for this and pivoted and I've seen some businesses just think out of the box and be so creative. We have a local brewery. I mean, the licensing laws in Canada are ridiculous. You can it's all governed by the government. You can't buy alcohol other than from licensed government places.
Yeah.
So you couldn't actually have beer delivery or wine delivery like you can in the UK.
Okay.
But they kind of got round that. Because one of the reasons was because if they delivered it, you had to prove that you were over 19 when they delivered it, and Canada Post were delivering things, and they stopped that service because they didn't want to have to deal with people at people's doorsteps.
Mm.
So the local companies weren't allowed to deliver, but they've kind of got round that now. And we have a local brewery. It's a local craft brewery. And their sales probably have doubled what they normally do. They only have a small pub, but their deliveries are just ridiculous. They've had to recruit more people. They can't keep the beer brewed quick enough for it. So, you know, there's companies like that that have kind of just adapted and are doing really well. So, yeah, so all of my new inquiries are all e-commerce. You know, people are finally waking up to need to get online with this.
And Lorraine, you and I haven't met, but within the e-commerce, what kind of service do you deliver in that?
It varies. I've got people that just have maybe two or three products that don't want a big WooCommerce, fancy shopping cart. So those ones have just gone with a simple Gravity Forms type solution. And then I've got other people, like the clothing store, their point of sale software links in with BigCommerce, which is kind of like a Shopify. I don't know if you've ever used it, but it's like a Shopify type system. So there's that one. And then Shopify has gone crazy. I kind of do all of the e-commerce ones. Mm-hmm. So it's been a bit of a custom, whatever fits, whatever they want. There isn't a one size fits all for that. It's not everybody, you know, going WordPress and WooCommerce. They all want kind of different things.
Mm. I just wasn't sure if you were doing the build or the marketing of the sites.
Yeah, it's the building of the sites that's got busy. The marketing, they're still, you know, people just think they build a website and it's going to magically happen for them, sadly.
Yeah, that is a, we get that as well a little bit. It's a, we've taken the opportunity to, we've been thinking about doing an offering of subscription model websites, a little bit like John White. And we've been holding back taking the plunge on that, partly because of the financial commitment that you have to put in up front in order to, you know, to get this thing sort of, it's a model that works great when you've got 15 or 20 clients on it, but until that point, all of a sudden you're working for a loss. And with the grant funding, etc., that's become available here in the UK, we've been able to take that and invest it in putting in that model for our agency clients. So it's, we still do bespoke. We're not going like John where that's all he does, but we are offering it as an option within our within our sort of payment structure, which is, and that seems to be going quite well. And I think because that, you know, in a market where people are needing to make changes to the way they operate online, and they do need to be able to sell this, and they need to be able to now do that, etc., where we've been able to say, well, look, we're going to be able to do that for 350 quid a month, has been far easier for them to stomach, rather than saying, hey, well, we need a new website and it's going to cost you £11,000.
I've kind of added that in as well, but purely because people have wanted to split the payments for it. And the business handout here, I think, was $40,000, and a certain amount of that was going to be allowed tax-free and interest, whatever. But the personal handout they've given was quite good for a lot of people. So they know that they're going to get a certain amount of money coming in every month, just automatically paid into the bank account. So they've been looking for more creative ways of paying for things. So yeah, that I was kind of thinking the same way of having that website as a service for a while, and it's just maybe kind of forced me to get in a bit sooner.
Although at least that means for your side of things, you know, you're going to be reaping the benefits for the next however long you've set your agreements for. You know, you've got to do all the work up front now, but you can't go anywhere, so that's fine. Everywhere's shut.
Exactly. Nothing else to do.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I swear, you know, this year has been really bizarre. It started, this is going to take a turn for a negative turn in the podcast for the 100th episode, but there we go. We woke up on New Year's Day after seeing New Year in, fireworks, champagne, you name it. We saw New Year's Day in to be woken up to the news that a guy that I used to work for when I was a freelancer had been murdered in the early hours of New Year's Day, and alongside his new partner, and it was her ex-partner that had been arrested for doing it all. And then there was the inquest and the funeral, and didn't happen for like 5 weeks and this, that, and the other. So we were sort of, it was a bit of a surprise, bit of a shock. And all of a sudden 2020 didn't sort of feel kind of, you know, that's the sort of thing that you hear about in the news. It never happens.
No, it's going to be a bad year. Yeah.
And this was like 20 past four on January the 1st, this happened. So, so that was where it kicked off. And then of course we've had COVID happen, which, okay, I know the first one was a bit more of a personal thing, but still all a bit bizarre. Matt Davies has joined us in the house. 35 minutes late, Matt. 35.
I had it in my calendar for 11 o'clock for some reason. They're trying to change time zones when the clocks move. It always throws me out. Maybe he's 25 minutes early.
Maybe. Mark was here about half an hour early as well. Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Sorry, mate. I was hoping it was going to be yesterday. That aircon in the background's not going to annoy anyone, is it?
No, can't hear it.
Oh, fantastic. This is the great thing about having a good microphone.
How's it going, buddy?
My life at the moment's difficult because I'm not sleeping well. So and obviously all this being in sort of a lockdown thing, because my eyesight's fine, so I'm not allowed to drive to test it or anything. just a little reference to people in the UK. Being in sort of lockdown, not really sure what day it is anymore anyway. So it's my sister's birthday, which I realized about an hour ago.
Ah. And of course, Amazon Prime's guaranteed deliveries now something like 4 days.
Yeah. Sent them an online card, so I think it'll be there on Saturday.
Thinking of you.
Yeah. I was like, sorry it's late, but enjoy the chocolate that's inside. Cheers.
See, COVID's good for some things.
Oh, yeah. I know. I was having a conversation with a client the other day, and they said, so in the UK on a Thursday night, I don't know whether they do this in Scotland, Bob. Do you clap on a Thursday night, 8 o'clock?
It's so noisy, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the neighbours interrupting you again. Is that your filming schedule by any chance?
No. I have a funny story, though, if you want to hear it.
Yeah, go
in fact,
for it.
I would show you a video, but this is a podcast. It won't work. My son is stuck in Glasgow at the moment. And for anybody who knows Scotland, I'm in the north end of Scotland and he's in the south end of Scotland. He lives on a flat in Glasgow, which is about four floors up. And he has a really amazing panoramic view over one of Glasgow's best beauty spots. And then down below him, there's a viewing platform. And every day, this is just packed, all through COVID, completely packed. And yesterday, there was a couple turned up. And they started filming themselves doing some dancing. So he was just raging in his flat because he has probably an overdeveloped sense of justice. So he opened his windows really wide and started playing Boris Johnson's speech about why you should stay at home out the window really loud. And they kept dancing for about a minute and then they started to look quite anxious. And eventually they backed up and they left. But he filmed the whole thing. It was so funny. Possibly the most passive aggressive thing you've ever seen. Sorry.
It was good to see Barnard Castle trending on social media from the UK with the what's his name Cummings and
our wedding reception was in Barnard Castle. That place is about 12 miles away from my parents' house. It's so weird to see a little sleepy Barney, as it's like locally known, appearing on national news.
My husband's from the northeast, so we were kind of laughing at that too. So.
Yeah, just so bizarre, things he couldn't make up. Oh dear, Matt. We were just talking about how COVID's sort of changing things for our business a little bit, and the opportunities that we've got, and the way things have developed. How has it affected you at all?
Honest answer, it's probably cost us about $50,000-$60,000. But I'm not really
Boris
that
will,
bothered.
Boris will cover most of that, mate.
No,
just,
I mean,
just send him the bill.
we had some better plans for this year in terms of what we were doing. With funnel packs, we had another product that we were going to launch on our first birthday. We had a lot of different things we were going to do and like loads more stuff and that we planned for this year. But I think what is the really important thing that we all know is that those of us who aren't called Dominic and have an IQ that stretches into at least a second digit, we tend to actually realize that it's better to work together right now and to help each other. And so Mel and I, we decided that we're going to do everything we can to help people, and we're not really promoting anything until June. Obviously, once June the 1st hits, everyone's going to get 10 sales emails a day. There's going to be pop-ups. We'll probably end up just posting stuff to your day. You know, I might even open up Bonjour and finally send out 700 odd Bonjour messages to people. A bit crazy.
You're just going to be like a marketing ninja from June the 1st, aren't you?
No, we won't. I mean, it's. I think at the end of the day, it's. I hate the word, but the unprecedented times cliche thing is getting as bad as all the office cliches that we get. But with the situation that's going on, I think it's really, really important that we all look out for each other, because so many of us as agency owners or product creators, or, you know, however you might see yourself, podcasters even, you know, we're all in a very similar position, and there is a fantastic opportunity that's going to come as we move out of the situation we're in right now. It's going to be kind of a digital revolution in the chance that, in the sense that there's going to be so many more opportunities for people. I think, you know, with new businesses starting up, businesses having capital again, people coming out the other side of this. And if you position yourself well now and you're able to get through what could potentially be some difficult months, although we've seen some people have some fantastic months. You know, we're talking about people started new services perhaps on April the 1st and have been doing very, very well.
Really?
Yeah. There's this company called SEO Hive.
Really? I might have to check them out.
No, I have to agree with Matt. Sorry, we haven't met. But
Matt, meet Bob. Bob, meet Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hello, mate.
I forgot what I was going to say now. Yeah, I mean, I have been very focused on content and content marketing from the beginning of the year, being as high profile as I reasonably could be. And I noticed none of my local competition, and I don't really look at local as my main trading area now, but it's like they're completely dormant. They don't exist. They occasionally comment on other people's content, but they're not making any effort to position themselves for any kind of recovery. And I think I would hate to look at this as an opportunity, but for those people who do continue, as Matt said, to serve as best they can, as visibly as possible, once the recovery comes, they're the people who are really going to see the rewards.
Mm. Yeah.
But also, like Matt, I'm probably about £50,000 behind where I would have projected being. But I'm actually no worse off than I was in January.
Yeah.
Because I had anticipated a lot of growth that just hasn't happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't seen any handouts from any government so far. Nobody's offering me anything. So I'm okay.
The most important thing that we've got, I mean, as long as we keep our family safe, we have a roof over our heads, we have food on the table, which obviously is something that I think we can sometimes take for granted, given some of the people in the world don't have that. But I think you have to be, and I don't mean this to sound nasty, but you have to be slightly selfish in these situations, not making sure you protect what's around you. But obviously also, if we can do something to give to other people, we should always try and do that as well. But certainly in the situation we have now, just being able to look out for ourselves, look out for our family, look out for our friends and anyone else we can, it's so, so important. And really, profit right now isn't massively important. I know obviously it helps businesses, but we're all going to be able to profit in the future. The most important thing is staying solvent.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree. And, you know, we've taken exactly the same approach with the launch of SEO Hive, which is, you know, we're not doing any salesy type marketing around it. We've got no ads running, no funnel campaigns, no, you name it, that stuff hasn't even been created yet. It's literally the way we've put it out there is to say, you know, if we can help you do this, we will help you. Here's a way that we can help. If now's not the right time, no pressure, you know, that's what you find. We're not looking to grow into whatever right now. We've got an option to help, and that's the way we can do it.
I do have a perspective on this, because I think if you look at the economy as a rescue situation at the moment, the first job of any rescuer is to secure their own situation first and make sure that you're safe so you can help other people. Mm. And also, and from a business perspective, that means you need to continue trading. Just because everybody's running around in a panic doesn't mean you should stop doing all the normal things that a business needs to do in order to perform well. So I think you need to be sensitive in the way that you market your business, but you shouldn't simply stop. Because at the end of the day, somebody's going to need to be in business to pay tax, to pay for any recovery. So it's our duty as business owners / rescuers to do everything we can to do as well as possible. And it might, for those people that aren't business owners, that might sound ruthless, but it's the most generous thing we can do as business owners, really.
That's very true.
It's an interesting dichotomy type place that we're in at the moment, and there's no clear roadmap out of it. But you're dead right. Somebody somewhere along the line is going to have to start paying for this to put the economy back on a track, back on a trajectory, and that's globally as well. You know, we need those. I think it's going to take one hell of a long time for us to get back to kind of the freedom of certain freedoms that we had before lockdown came in. But the benefit of us operating in the digital space is we don't have those borders to worry about particularly. And you know, maybe this is sort of circling back to what you were saying earlier, Matt, but that sort of completes the circle, that we're in a unique position where we can start to kickstart certain things ahead of where other people are. I suppose this also ties back to what you were saying earlier, Lorraine, about being able to help businesses when they need it as well, because those bricks and mortar businesses that can't operate online without the help of people like us, you know, we need to be there to support them as well. Wow.
Yeah, it's just trying to be around for people. And, you know, we've got the years of experience of putting businesses online where some of them haven't even thought about it. So, you know, it's kind of on us as a business to let them know, okay, well, have you thought about doing this? You know, because there's so many businesses, bricks and mortar businesses, that haven't even thought about selling online, don't even have a website, some of them. And it's actually going to them and saying, look, have you thought about, you know, pivoting what you do as a business so that you can have some income online? You know, there's small businesses that think, oh, you know, there's no point me having a website because I don't sell anything, a physical product. But, you know, we have a local pet store here that they don't have a website. They don't sell online. But we kind of worked with them to say, well, you know, people still have animals. They still need feeding. You have a van that you pick stuff up in. Why don't you set something up and just deliver food to people? It's like, oh yeah, never thought about that. It's like, well, it's kind of a no-brainer, but they hadn't thought outside the box like that. That, you know, they were just set in there. We have a store, people come to the store, they buy the food, they go home. You know, we have a the same thing with the boarding kennels. Well, they were all closed down, and I said, well, you know, you feed the animals when they come and stay with you. Are you still able to get a supply of pet food? And they were, yeah. Like, well, again, you know, that's something. Those animals are now stuck at home with people. They still need feeding. Just pivot a little bit and offer something that you haven't necessarily thought of before. But if it gets you through this time before you can open up again, then, you know, it's going to bring some income in for you. And there's a lot of them that are, you know, trying to think a little differently now.
Absolutely.
It's good for us.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think the real opportunity there is that, you know, some people put measures in place for right now that when things do start to go back to a form of normality, they'll close down and it will have seen them through a period of time. Other people will put things in place and it will then become a second stream of income for them. So they've got a bit of an insurance blanket if something like this ever happens again, which is, you know, it's all good, really. It is all good. So guys, look, thank you for joining me for episode 100. This has been, it's been cool. I put it up on Facebook. People say they're coming, and then you obviously there's no idea whether those people are actually going to turn up or not. So I really appreciate you spending some time with me, raising a mug, glass, breakfast, bagel, whatever it is that you've had. and celebrating episode number 100. I really appreciate it.
Congratulations, Peter.
Yeah, congratulations. And I have to ask you, who was your best guest?
Who was my best guest?
Yeah, who was your favorite guest?
All the solo shows. Well,
what do you want to be different when you get to episode 200 then?
Oh, now you're putting me on the spot. I can hear Matt cackling. when the thing for me has always been, how can I make sure that the podcast is serving people the best? How can I make sure that it's not just regurgitating the same stuff and it's not just me talking at people, but that there's actually practical advice in it? And like I mentioned earlier, I mean, when I said the podcast is changing a bit at the minute, they're really subtle changes. They're not, there's not like a big sort of groundswell shift in the way anything's going to happen. But I have purposefully spent some time and just reevaluated, gone back to those core values, essentially. You know, when you set out for episode one and you've got nobody listening to you, you're just talking into a black hole, and you create this sort of mythical person at the other end that you're talking to because it gives you a focus and it gives you a drive. I return to that, and I have done a couple of points so far. So what do I want to be different by episode 200? I suppose I want it to be different in the way that it's still serving people. So however I can best do that over the next 100 episodes, that's where we're going to be going. I don't yet know exactly what that looks like. But it's, you know, it's just, I look back, it's weird. You, again, thinking about those first few episodes, you and Bob, you know what it's like. Matt, you've got this to come. You know, I listen to my first 7, 8, 9 episodes, however many, and just cringe. They're awful. It makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And at the time you're doing them, it feels so weird. It feels like you're putting yourself out there in a way that you become a bit vulnerable, I suppose. And now, like 99 episodes later, I can't really imagine a week when I don't release a podcast and speaking into this thing becomes much more normal and much more natural. And some of those inhibitions disappear, I suppose. So I don't know whether that's really answered your question, but that's certainly my focus, and it comes back at sort of marker episodes like this, like hitting 100. When I did my first recap was episode I ever did was what I'd learned from 20 episodes of podcasting, which was nearly 6 months, I suppose, and that was the first time I revisited it, and then when it got to it, like its year birthday and that kind of thing. So so that's the plan. We're not planning on going anywhere anytime soon.
Since we're doing questions, let's not notice that we're Q&A. This is kind of fun. What would you say from your first 100 episodes was the biggest learning point you've got that would help anyone who is an aspiring podcaster who's listening right now?
Batch record every time. So when I launched the podcast, I had a few in the can, batched, perfect. They went out, not a problem. About 3 months later, 3-4 months later, our office was broken into, and every door in the building was smashed. We had to move out because of the construction work that needed to be done by the insurance company. And I was quite fortunate. The burglars, I was using a Mac Mini at the time, and the burglars weren't intelligent enough to realize that was a computer. So they'd nicked my screens, but not my computer. Although they had stood on it. It had this big boot print right in the middle, which I had to leave until forensics were done with it in case they could get any detail off it. I'd run out of a batch. That was it. Like that episode that went out that week was it. And with everything that was going on, limited access, stuff that was left in the office, few bits were nicked, all that kind of stuff, I ended up having to take hiatus for a month just because I didn't have the stuff in the pipeline. And it was fine. You know, the world didn't come to an end or anything. But as somebody that was so young in their podcast game, trying to keep consistency going, all these buzzwords that you hear people talk about, be consistent, show up, be engaging, all that kind of stuff. And I was desperately trying to do that. And I just didn't have the resource or the ability or the time, because I was having to do work from different places, all that kind of stuff. Move on to my laptop that I've now got so that they can't nick it if they break in again. All of that kind of stuff. So yeah, batch recording, I would say, is the single most important step that I, or lesson I've learned. And I do that by setting aside a day or a couple of days a month in order to get episodes done. And I try and encourage guests to pick dates around, pick slots around those couple of days, or maybe that week, so that it's all pre-recorded, ready to go. And then I'm in an empowered position of listening to it again. I actually get to learn something, which is brill. And then it gets released on the day that it gets released.
Thank you, Pete. That's awesome.
No worries at all. Right, before this gets into any more of a Q&A, I'm going to wrap it up. Because I have a feeling the questions may start shifting in terms of their usefulness somehow. Guys, thank you so much for joining me for episode 100. It has been it's been a privilege to have you on the call. It's been a privilege to produce 100 episodes of the podcast for you, and I look forward to doing the same.